Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As well as the Making Star Wars Podcast Network. From the moment Laura Cyricuil found out about Rose Tico's role in The Last Jedi, she was all in. Find out why Laura is so excited and empowered by seeing her heritage represented in the Star Wars universe, and hear about Kelly Marie Tran's reaction to seeing Laura's Rose Tico cosplay. You have to be pretty into Star Wars at the moment to know who Rose Tico is.
Yeah, a lot of Star Wars fans, they knew who I was. They were like, yeah, all the Asians, a majority of the Asians who saw me, who weren't in Star Wars garb, they were just like, Rose Tico. and then because I have so much pride in being Asian, I'm just like, yeah. And then, we have the Asian nod to each other. We're like, yeah, like Asians. We actually do that. When you see an Asian person at a convention, you're just like, you just have the nod. It's like, hey, I see you.
And it's a super fun chat, and you might just learn a thing or two. This is Steel Wars episode 148, Laura Cyricuil celebrating Rose Tico and meeting Kelly Marie Tran. This episode of Steel Wars is brought to you by Harry's Shavers. At Harry's, it's all about a great shave at a fair price. And there is no fairer price than free trial offer, which is what you can get if you go to harrys.com/Steel Wars. And if you cover the shipping, which is just $3, Harry's will send you out their trial shave set for free. That is harrys.com/Steel Wars. Seriously, it's free, and the shavers are really good. Just do it now. Go on. Now. Go. harrys.com/Steel Wars. It's in the show notes. It's on the site. Go on. Come on. Quick. Hey, you guys. Welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And each week, we find someone of interest to talk about it with, and we're out here in Pasadena in a... It's like, I don't know where we are, Laura, but it's like Borders has been reincarnated. We're in the ghost of Borders out the front, enjoying a coffee, and I'm with today's guest. It's Laura Cyricuil. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm just enthralled by this bookshop. What's a bookshop called?
Romans. So it's like a hipster version of Borders.
Really? I don't know if I can make the hipster thing, but a fan of Borders. But I've got a bone to pick with you, because when I got here, we'd never met before, and we hadn't really decided. We just decided we're going to meet in this shop, and I didn't realize it was so big. So I haven't checked my phone yet. I go to the Star Wars book section. You're not there. Then I check my messages, and you're in the cafe. So I'm right now... I'm starting out fake fan, not waiting in the Star Wars book section.
But how do you know I wasn't there already, and then I read everything and I left?
All right, we're going to have to go to security and look through the videotapes and see if this checks out.
I'm a regular. They know me.
So we're out in Pasadena. Do you ever go to the Pasadena Rose Bowl? The flea market thing?
Yes.
That is the best.
It's amazing. I always try to look for all the geeky stuff there. Mm. But it's always scattered already, where they have only like the bad stuff left.
You got to wake up earlier.
I know. I should.
What's the best Star Wars thing that you found out there?
I didn't buy it, but I saw it was reserved. Someone already reserved it. But it was a lunch pail, the old school.
Nice.
Like the 70s. And I really like it because I have a whole bunch of lunch pails. Oh. Sorry. My bad.
So
there's
Wow.
I'm so sorry about that.
Oh my god, did you see how much I jumped right there? <I'm
sorry. laughs> I thought this would be like super quiet because it's like 2 p.m. and there's like usually no one here at 2 p.m.
The motorcycle started and I literally jumped under the the cafe table.
And you're like a really tall, big Australian guy, so it's really actually entertaining.
Yeah, it's pretty well. That's the weirdness about me. I'm this big burly guy, but I like Ewoks and all that sort of stuff.
Porks.
Yeah, love the porks. It's Halloween tomorrow, and I've got my pumpkin and I've got my porg stencil, and we're going to be carving up a porg pumpkin tonight, so I'm very excited. But what was the thing that was on reserve?
It was the lunch pail. It was a 19th vintage. Like, they were selling for a lot, but then it's just so pretty that I asked them about it and they were like, oh no, it's reserved. And it had like, it was the I'm trying to remember, Empire Strikes Back.
Tight.
Yeah, and it was so pretty, but it was rusty, but then it was still pretty. And like you could tell, and she said it's reserved for someone.
And it's a perfect item because you love Empire Strikes Back. You're a fan of lunch.
I do. And I have a whole, I actually own a whole bunch of lunch pails. Like, I don't use them, but I just have them. And it's really bad because like if I do bring them, it's like my lunch is too big to fit. Like, it'll be a salad and it just doesn't fit inside the lunch pail. So there's no point in having the lunch pail.
Well, in the early 80s, lunches were smaller.
Yeah, they're just sandwiches and a juice box. But like, now I'm just like, oh, I can't bring it anywhere. Even at cons, like, I want to bring a lunch. I want to bring my pail. But I'm like, oh, no, I have too much stuff to put.
You need the mega pail.
Yeah, I need, like, a lunch backpack.
Yes. Now, the Comic-Con, the LA Comic-Con, I don't know what it's called because they change the name every year.
Stan Lee's Comic-Con.
Okay, because it was Kamikaze and then it was LA Comic-Con. But that was on the weekend.
Yes.
And we missed each other, but did you have a good time?
I had a great time. I dressed up as Rose. And I got to just see a whole bunch of like my fellow like Star Wars friends that I met throughout the con season, and it was just cool. I got to hang out with them. I got to meet people at the Rebel Legion.
Cool.
And they were telling me like the people are working on the Rose, but no one's completed it yet. So they were telling me like, oh, I should submit so I could be the first. And like I'm always like nervous, and I'm like, okay, I think I'm gonna do it. It's just nerve wracking. I'm like taking pictures and sending it to them to see if they accept me.
Now, for people that maybe don't know, explain like, so the Rebel Legion's like a costuming group.
Yeah.
And so that's like people, like the 501st is like the most famous one, but this is like the good guys version.
Yeah. So 501st is the villains. And then Rebel Legion are the heroes. And then Rose isn't really, there isn't a category for her. So she's considered the fringe section. Because a maintenance worker, so they weren't really sure where to put her, and it's like a group. They do a lot of charity work. They have like meetups and everything, and so they were looking. They're looking for some roses, and so I'm kind of like, okay, I want to submit, but I'm always nervous because I'm always like second guessing my cosplay when I make it.
Yeah. So explain like what the submission process is.
You have to send three different pictures and comparison photos. So you send a picture of your front of your costume. And then has to show different things that the actual photos that we were able to see of Rose has to match. And so you have to have a majority of the things that match hers, like her comm badge, the wording on her, all the wordings on her jumpsuit, her knee pad every section, her belt with the bullets, her shoulder with the bullets. You have to have like different. Has to have all the markings that they show.
Okay. So does it have to have like copyright Disney Hasbro 2017 on the leg?
I know, on the foot. I have to have it on the foot. Like it's ingrained in.
You have to have little holes so you can stand holes. On a playset.
Yeah, and a little stand like the pop figure. So I have that. So I have to submit all those things. So it's just nerve-wracking because you always, then people are going to look into your work that you've done. And
yeah,
I've worked on this rose since it first came out, like the first image came out, and then I had to alter it each time a new photo came out, and then her pop figure came out, and so I kind of finished it before I got to meet her in person.
Nice. Well, we will get into that. We've got some good sizzle going into the podcast. How you did get to meet Kelly Marie Tran. But, you know, I've been there. I've done that. It's old news to me. My one concern is that when you got the pop and you decided to use that as reference, you're like, oh, I'm going to have to make my head so much bigger.
Yeah, I just figured I'll just make my hair bigger. And then I'll just make my head look bigger.
So, and what stuff did you get up to apart? Was it the first time you cosplayed at a convention or?
I've been cosplaying for a long time.
Ah, okay.
Since like 08, 07, like even before that. But I committed to it like earlier in the years. Like I've been doing it on and off throughout my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really got into it probably in the 2008, 2009 era time.
Do you know what's weird for me? It's like you're cosplaying as Laura from Twitter.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
I know. Wait, I need a coffee cup in my face so I could cover it. Actually, my picture now is Rose, a cartoon version of Rose. So
I have to say, I noticed the change. And for everyone that changed their avatars or their user pics on Twitter, can you not? Because that's how I know everyone. Like, I don't sort of look at their name or anything. It's the picture. And then when someone changes the picture, it's like, you're starting afresh. I'm just like, why am I following this person? Who are they? So keep those pictures the same, you guys. Let's just lock in a picture. Keep it there.
I'm actually trying to change it back to my original picture, but I can't find my original picture. So I'm trying to make sure I have to take a new one with a new mug. So
now, what we were talking about before, when I met you on Twitter. Yes. We're Twitter buddies.
Yes.
Which, when I explain that, there's my friend Kate from Australia staying with us. And so now I'm going to interview this girl, Laura. And say, how do you know her? And I'm like, she's a friend from Twitter. I've met her before. But I sort of vaguely remember this. You were just saying before we started the podcast that when I was like, do you want to come to a podcast? And did I direct you? I'm like, look, I've got a wife and a cat.
You basically was like, hey, do you mind being on the podcast? I'm like, sure. And you're like, well, I could come to you or you could come to me. And I'm just like, oh, okay, that's cool. And you're like, but don't worry. I have a wife. I have like a pet and everything. So you don't have to worry about anything. And then I was thinking, oh, I wasn't worried before, but now I'm kind of concerned.
That is the hallmark of someone you have to be worried about.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, it's fine. But I just, because sometimes I'm like so overzealous, just like, oh, come to a podcast. And then, because I love doing them in person because, you know, it's better than Skype.
Yeah.
But then I'm always just like, oh, yeah, I sort of have to let them know that I acknowledge this is strange and but it will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume that guy in the flannelette shirt is with you and he's just watching out.
Making sure that everything is fine. I told him a big Australian guy is going to come and talk to me. And he was just like, I'm just going to work on my work right here and just make sure you're okay.
Is he scared of motorbikes? Maybe we'll be able to flush him out.
He added that just in case, just to make sure you were good at your reactions.
Terrifying, terrifying. All right, so let's go back to the very beginning. And what is your first memory of Star Wars?
So I saw it when I was younger. I mean, I always was a Trekkie growing up because my dad like had me watch it as babysitter. My dad did show me the Star Wars trilogy and I was into it. And then when I got older, I got teased for it. And so I kind of was like, put myself where I was just like, oh no, I'm not a fan. Like I am. And I had some toys, I remember in my basement in New York, I had all my toys. I had Star Wars, He-Man, and Star Trek, and a whole bunch of toys. And I remember watching it as a kid, and I really liked the Ewoks.
That is nothing to be ashamed of.
And but I think I remember that. I remember Luke's hand getting cut off, and I cried. And then I found out that big Darth Vader was his father. Spoiler alert, father. And I think I was terrified. I was upset. And my dad, my dad was like, don't worry, it's okay. That's normal. And then as I grew up.
That's normal. Fathers often chop their children's hands off.
I know. My dad was just trying to call me like, oh, it's okay. And my mom was mad at him for showing me.
How old were you?
six, seven, watching it.
Okay.
And then when I, but you know, I kind of, and like only Leia was, and my dad was like, oh, I don't want you to watch this because Leia's in a bikini. I watched it anyway. But my mom was kind of upset with him because she was like, oh, I don't think she's at the age yet. I remember that. But then my parents would just, and then when I got older, the prequels were coming and I was just like, well, there's really like, I was like, I just like the original. So like, and my ex was like, no, watch it. You have to watch the prequels. And I watched it and I was like, oh, this is disappointing. but he was just like, oh no. And I just kept watching the old ones and I was just like, no, I'm obsessed with the old ones. The old ones are the classic. I think my love for it renewed when I got older too, because I understood, like I did symbolism kind of stuff. Uh-huh. As you get older, you're just like, oh my God, symbolism. And I was back into it, and my, but the prequels kind of deterred me, but I was just like, no, I'm going to stick to my original. And I just continued. And then, When it got to the newer ones, I was reborn, kind of. It was like a awakening, like awakened.
Yeah, yeah.
The Force did awaken in me.
That title just keeps on giving.
Yeah. I was just like, I was awakened. Because like I just watched the other ones and I'm just like, oh, okay. And then I had the comic books and I had the books. And I was just like, oh, you know, this is cute. Like I really enjoy it. But it felt like there was nothing new for me to rejuvenate. And then when The Force Awakens, I was just like, oh my God, I'm back. Because there's only so much Leia you can cosplay. Like, I've cosplayed Leias. And then I always get called, like, I got, like, called, like, the Asian Leia. Or, like, and it kind of deterred me, too. But The Force Awakens just rejuvenated. And I was like, I'm going to be everything. So I was Rey, and I was this, and BB-8. And, like, I rewatched the old ones because and Rogue One came out. I was like, this is life again. I'm so glad that they refreshed my life and they brought inspiration back. And then now at Rose Tico with The Last Jedi, I was just like, this is why I love the original. Like, this brought me back to life, because I love the originals, but it was before my time. And then I watched it and like I loved it, and I could only rewatch it, and then I could read the comics and everything. But then the Force Awakens, the new ones, just rejuvenated everything. Mm. It felt like I went to a spa and came back out and I was like, refreshed. That's how we describe it.
Do you remember how you found out that it was all coming back?
Yeah, I got, because I work in press on the, like, I do press work, and I got a press release saying that they're announcing, they're redoing it. And, like, I was at first worried because I was just like, no, the prequels. And then they said George Lucas isn't working on it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, well, there's that is a controversial thought. I always wonder what it would have been like. Like all the build up and the hype,
mm-hmm.
like going into The Force Awakens, if mm-hmm. it was George Lucas. Because I sort of thought that the switch to J.J. Abrams, it sort of, I don't know, sort of leveled the playing field for people being excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like prequel fans and original trilogy fans, you know, and those that are fans of both can sort of equally be excited about the new films.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. It's like, I love George Lucas, but I kind of felt like his view of Star Wars was sort of, I don't know. It just felt like he was, I don't know, too much on the pushing the special effects and stuff, yeah, rather than
the story.
The story, and it seemed like he was contradicting things he'd said previously about, yeah, effects and how they're just tools and, you know, that sort of thing. So it definitely gave me sort of that renewed, like, optimism that, like, you know, someone's going to come in and make a Star Wars that sort of fits my idea of it. And,
yeah,
you know, like the prequels, I'm, you know, there's bits I have to squint through. To be fair, what's something that you liked about them?
What are they, like, Ewan McGregor? I mean, he was cast really well. Because, like, the only problem I have with the prequels is the acting and the storylines. like, the action was great. Like, the fight scenes with, like, Ray Park, yeah, that was amazing. Like, and then, yeah, they, like, even though it was maybe too much when they had Yoda fight, but he looked great. It did look like a fun, like, if I just cleared my mind and just enjoyed the action scenes, like, it would have been so fun just to watch them fight and, like, oh, crap, he just dropped his cane and started, like, kicking ass. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, the action sequences and the special effects, that's, it was cool. Like, it was different because we have that now. But I couldn't stand the acting. When, like, Padme fell out of the helicopter, she just said, ow, and got back up.
That is one of the most bizarre scenes in film history. Like, it's like, I don't,
ow.
Like, are you okay? Yes. And then let's run off in the weirdest way possible. That run is so, it's so bizarre. And I kind of think that scene is very, like, it's a good bottled version of what people find weird about them.
Yeah.
I don't buy that they're in the sand, that they fell out of the ship, that they're talking to each other, that either of them are real people.
Yeah.
So who's your favorite character?
Old school or new school? Because Rose Tico is even though we haven't been introduced to her, I just love her to death with all my heart. I would risk it all for her.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just hear that slang all the time. They're like, I would risk it all for that person. So I would risk it all for like Rose Tico.
I'm very excited for Rose Tico. Mm-hmm. And Kelly Marie, when I got to interview her, and she was just like
I saw the interview.
Beyond adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. But so, like, explain your hype for Rose Tico.
Well, like, I'm Asian American. I don't know if, because they can't see me. I'm Asian American, so, and I've been a fan for a long time. And, you know, in the original trilogy, there's really no an Asian character that's, like, woman major character. And so it was so important to, everyone wants to see themselves. And they want to see themselves in the film and see that they're represented. And so when The Force Awakens, I thought maybe there's a chance. And, like, you know, I could, there's a possibility for diversity for an Asian character. Even in the background, like, I could see myself. And, like, Jessica Henwick was there, and she's great. And, like, she plays a minor character, but she still was there representing us. But then when they announce Rose Tico as a major character who's going to help Finn in the situation, and then we got to see clips, it just hit me in the heart. Like, it just struck me because it's like, oh, my God, we're actually being seen. We're actually being represented on the big screen in a story that many of us and myself loved throughout the years. And, you know, I thought the prequels would have someone like us, but it didn't. Like, and so it was nice to just see ourselves on the big screen. And then I get a lot of people who tell me, oh, you know, don't you see yourself in Leia? I'm like, yes, I do. Like, I love Leia. Like, she's strong, captivating. But it also shows that Star Wars wants people like us. They want, they accept us and people who look like me. And so Rose Tico represents that.
Maybe we should go into how we became Twitter buddies.
Yeah.
Was that you had this tweet, which for everyone that can't see me, I'm a white dude, right? Star Wars has catered for me for many years. I watched Star Wars and I was Luke Skywalker. Like, no questions asked. That was my character. You had this tweet that said, when you're finally represented in the fandoms you love, and you've got someone from Star Trek. I don't know. I know it's from the new Star Trek.
Yeah.
Who's that?
That's Captain Georgiou.
Okay. Well, that'll be the last she's ever mentioned in the show. And then it's got you cosplaying as her. And then you've got Rose. And then you've got you cosplaying as her.
Yeah.
And you just... So I'd never knew you existed or anything like that. But someone retweeted it. This tweet, it's had good traction. You got 262 tweets here.
Well, the original one that you actually commented on was just me and Rose. That was the original one. And then I was able to cosplay them and then post it.
But
the original one was me and Rose, me cosplaying as Rose that you commented on.
Gotcha. Over 1,000 likes. So you're doing well. Good traction on this one. But it's weird because I sort of started this podcast just because I just wanted to make jokes about Star Wars, pretty much.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be fun to talk about Star Wars every week and just sort of muck around
and
talk about it the way I want to talk about it. But in doing that and doing these interviews, I've sort of, like, found out,
you know, a lot of mm-hmm. stuff about people and people that have had different backgrounds to me. And it is, like, obviously a really controversial topic in fandom and in the world about yeah. representation and stuff. And I think the reason I found your tweet was that someone had replied to it saying that it's racist to be excited about someone with your same cultural heritage being in a movie. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to that one?
You know, I received a whole bunch. I got a lot of praise from a lot of people and they were so supportive. And then I got a lot of haters where they were just like, well, you can't see yourself in anyone else. Like, oh, why does it matter that she's Asian just because you're Asian? Like, a lot of people just didn't understand because they never been in that situation where they never got to see themselves. So I had a lot of comments. And honestly, because I received that before, I always kind of trying to ignore it, or I just like, I ignore it, or I mute them, or I do comment that, you know, just so you guys know, I do see myself in Leia, but it's finally accepting that people like me are accepted in the fandom, in the actual franchise, mm-hmm. because I never got to see Asian people, and we are out there.
I always find it so funny where it's like this diversity, and it's like, have you been to the cantina? Mm-hmm. You can accept three-eyed Ri'is,
yeah,
but
a black stormtrooper?
Yeah, that's just out of control. Like, that is, there is so much I can sci-fi and fantasy so far, but mm-hmm. but that is a bit too far. So yeah, so the tweet was like about how, you know, you should be able to, like, it's this thing where it's like, it's racist to be excited about your race. And as I said, like, before I started doing all these interviews, there was, like, I wasn't as aware of all this stuff.
Yeah.
I remember having a discussion with someone about having homosexuality in Star Wars
yeah.
and Star Wars books. And initially I was like, oh, that doesn't, I don't know if there's a place for that.
Mm-hmm.
Then as we talked about it, it's like, well, it's not really going to, like, come up as much of a thing. Like, it's sort of just you get stuck into what was in compared to, like, what just should have been sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
I only think it's weird because I didn't grow up with it.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, my kids, they don't need to find out about this. Like, your kids don't think it's weird until you think it's weird.
Yes, exactly.
And then it's weird. You do have them convinced that this old dude with a white beard is coming down the chimney once a year. They're going to go with whatever you tell them.
Exactly. I actually was, like, telling people, like, if you have Rose Tico or, like, a character like Rose Tico or Finn, it normalizes that there are people in this world who are, like, Asian and black. And it normalizes that we are just maintenance workers, we are regular people, and not the stereotypes that the media has given us. Like, when you watch movies, it's like the Asian woman's always the Madam Butterfly or the Tiger Mom, or like the just like, or the racist trope that, you know, we have accents. Instead, like, when you see Finn and you see, like, Rose and you see, like, an Oscar Isaac's character Poe, we're just normal people who are just in the rebellion and in the resistance, trying to make it every day, mm-hmm. like make it through life every single day.
Just trying to resist.
Yeah. We're just trying to work hard and beat the empire.
I always think of, from the new books, mm-hmm. One of my favorite characters is Syngia. Do you know, have you heard that he's from the Aftermath trilogy?
I've heard of it. I didn't read it yet. I want to read it because I have a queue of books that I have to read.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Life is just really difficult right now.
Got to meet weird guys at cafes.
Yeah, and thank God they're married.
So Syngia he's a homosexual man that used to be part of the Empire, mm-hmm. and now he's sort of, you know, it's like just after Return of the Jedi, and he's sort of broke out, and he's with mm-hmm. the Rebels. And he, in the end, just a light spoiler, but he gets reunited with his boyfriend, and it's like really touching,
yeah.
like a really nice romantic thing. And just because I'd like grown to really like this character over the three books, and I should just say, each book does get better, guys, so just hang in there. That first book was a bit rocky,
No Luke Skywalker. We all wanted him, but just bear with it. There will be no more Luke Skywalker, by the way, but the characters do grow on you. And it was like a really emotional moment because he'd met with his boyfriend. They'd been reunited. Mm-hmm. But I was just thinking about the homosexual boy that maybe hasn't come out or maybe has and is having a hard time, and that they read that they're in Star Wars and they're a cool character.
Yeah.
And how powerful that is. Like, I never experienced the reverse of that, where, you know, you love these Star Wars films, but there's absolutely no Asian representation. Maybe a pilot in Return of the Jedi.
We had one pilot, the Asian guy. Just like that one moment where he says his plane number, like his X-wing number.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's all you had to, for 15 years.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. Enjoy that.
My dad got him.
Just how powerful that is. And like the thing that really annoyed me about seeing your tweet and the reaction from one person was like, I love seeing, like, especially kids that they see something in Star Wars and they love it. And it makes them happy because it's like, oh, Star Wars made me so happy. It's rad that it can make other people happy. And so you've had this, like, you know, you've posted up this awesome photo of you cosplaying and then the photo of Rose and you're happy. And then someone has to go, no, I'm against your happiness and I've got nothing else in my life going that I have to make a tweet to try to, like, rain on your parade.
To bring you down.
It's... How do you find that?
You know, I've been cosplaying for a long time. So anytime I take a picture, because like whenever I post pictures of myself as characters who are of like not Asian descent, like I always get teased about that on Twitter and on social media or like in life. And, you know, you kind of just have to be like, no, I am this character, you know, please respect that. And then finally get to have a character that looks like me. You kind of have to take it with stride and be like, you know what, you may try to knock me down, but I'm going to rise myself up. And then there's other people who are just going to be supportive. And there's other girls out there who look at my post and go like, yes, like, you know, just like us. They're Asian girls who are just like, yes, we relate to this. You're just like us. Because for me, I'm not trying to impress those people who are going to tear me down. I'm trying to empower myself and other Asian girls who are going to see themselves. Because if I worry about what fanboy number 128 worries about, then it's not, because he doesn't have to worry about that stuff. Like this guy who's like hating on me and telling me like all this, like, oh, you're being racist, like, you're a white guy who has gotten to be anyone you want to be. Like, you want to be this person, you could, and no one will question you. You never had to not see yourself at all these moments. And so for me, when people like say like, oh, I just want to tell them like, shut up, like, you never had to experience this. Let me have my moment, and let every other Asian girl who finally sees themselves and loves this fandom and loves being a geek and loves and finally, you know, and cosplay, like, they finally get to be that person. And we finally get to see that Star Wars wants people like us. And they are like, Star Wars is like, we want an Asian character who's going to save the world, like, save everyone. And it kind of shows us, like, hey, we matter. Like, you care about us to have us in there.
Yeah. And I think it's something that I can understand from his point of view, is that when you've had that position of, like, you know, everything's made for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you don't even realize that. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not...
Yeah.
You don't even think about it because it's made for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then when, you know, people are campaigning for equality and all that stuff, and they're like, oh, okay, I don't quite understand this, but whatever. And then when they see you celebrating something that alienates them, a little bit.
Yeah.
Then they have a negative reaction to it. And I'm not validating that.
No, of course.
But it's like that's sort of, I feel like that's the math of the thought process. It's like,
well, you want equality, but now you're celebrating something that I'm not a part of, and them not being a part of something that's a celebration in Star Wars is quite foreign to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they find that like it's an attack. It's like you celebrating Rose Tico is sort of like smiting them in a way. That's sort of...
No, I understand that.
Yeah, because I think before I did a lot of research and talked to people about it, like I can see where those emotions are generated from, sort of thing.
Well, people fear what they don't know.
Mm.
And if it's something different, and people fear change too. So in their mind, Star Wars has always been about them. And then they see a shift being made, like with, especially with Finn happening. Like when they found out Finn was a black stormtrooper, all hell broke loose on the internet, like only on the internet. And you know, people just don't like change. And then they, and like, and then they found out Rey, spoiler, is a Jedi. Like she has the powers. And people went crazy. They were like, a woman, like how is this possible? Like they're thinking someone else is the lead, like, oh. And so, you know, they're so used to their story being told that once there's a little change, they just freak out. Like, no one likes change, but, you know, change is happening.
Yeah, it's so weird with the Rey thing because I don't really think about that she's a girl that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think she's like my Luke Skywalker. Like, she's like the innocent from the small town. So, so I immediately kind of gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
And I always say when we were going into The Force Awakens, I wasn't that like character excited.
Mm-hmm.
I was just more excited that it was back.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
But then when I saw the, I got to go to this preview where they showed about 8 minutes of the film, and it was about a week before the film came out, and Harrison Ford came out and told us not to tell anyone about it. It was pretty sweet. It was pretty sweet. But when Rey said, when Rey was excited to hear about Luke Skywalker and said, I thought he was just a myth. And I was just like immediately like, she's a Luke Skywalker fan. I'm like, she's me.
Yeah.
Like that's,
yeah.
Like, and I have like these discussions with people on Twitter and it's like, oh, my kid doesn't relate to Rey. Could it be that you're, what you've said?
Yeah.
Because I'm like an old dude. And as soon as she said that, I was just like, oh, that's my character.
Yeah.
Like instantly.
No, and it's also how you were raised too. Like it's how your thought process. Because if I teach my nephew like, hey, it's okay. Like for everyone could be this, everyone could be a Jedi, all this stuff. Then his mind's like, okay, that person's a Jedi. Like it doesn't really matter. Like you teach them that. And not just be like teaching them like, oh, only this guy could be a Jedi and only like of his family, which is white. Like you can't, you, like if I raised him to be like that, then he has that mindset. But if I tell him like, oh, anyone could be a Jedi, anyone could do this, like you could relate to this person no matter what, then I raised him that way and then his mindset would be like that. But if you raise them where it's like, oh, this is how the history is and nothing can break canon, like that's how a lot of fanboys are.
Yeah.
So that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's why their thought process is like that.
So because you've sort of grown up in this environment, when Rose came out, were you kind of hesitant to celebrate that?
Yeah, because I thought, oh no, like when they, because like when they introduced her, I was thinking, oh, she's going to be a minor character. She's going to be a side character. And they only want to use, like, and because I've seen so many shows and movies that they have an Asian character and you're so excited, but they die in order to further the storyline for another character. Or they're weak and they're just a side thing of like, oh, I'll help you, or comedy relief. Like, everyone likes Pacific Rim. I hated the Asian character in Pacific Rim. Like, I'm afraid that they were going to do that to Rose. And I was kind of worried until Celebration, when they mentioned, like, she's actually a main character. And then they showed pictures. They showed her a picture of her. And then she's actually on the cover of Vanity Fair. So the fact that she was that big shows me that she's going to actually have a big, major part. And, like, if she's similar to Poe, that's great, too, because Poe's important. Everyone loves Poe. And if she has that lead kind of storyline, I'm happy. I was just like, yay, she's not just going to be a character who's like, she died for the cause.
Yeah.
And that's, it for the first, when they announced her, I was kind of just worried the whole time. And they were like, oh, she's going to be a main character. I'm like, okay, I'm cheerful. I'm excited. But I'm not going to keep my hopes up. I'm just going to keep going. And, like, I'm going to celebrate her. But I'm not going to invest my heart into this yet. Like,
yeah.
And then when they finally kept going, I'm just like, and Celebration happened, I was just like, I'm all in. And then, and they showed the picture. I put together a cosplay just based on that one frame they showed her. And I posted it up. I'm like, yes, I'm all in.
I'm just in my head now. You're at a poker table. And then Rian Johnson shows the Vanity Fair cover and you just push all your chips in.
I'm all in. My emotions, I'll give you everything. And yeah, and then she had a panel at a Celebration, and I was just like, and they showed the picture, and then I was like, oh my God, she's that important to have that. And then, you know, everything started falling in place where, you know, they started really pushing for her. And then she's on the poster, and I was just like, yes, this has to, like, I'm invested now. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to promote her. And that's why I cosplay, because, like, I want people to know her, too. Like, I love her. I'm showing you I love her. And I want you to know how badass Rose Tico is. Like, look, she's that important.
So when you were cosplaying as her on the weekend, like, did people know who you were cosplaying as? Because it's pre-film, do you know what I mean? Whereas it's in the trailer and it's on the poster and it's on the... But it's still... You have to be pretty into Star Wars at the moment to know who Rose Tico is.
Yeah, a lot of Star Wars fans, they knew who I was. They were all like, yeah. All the Asians, the majority of the Asians who saw me, who weren't in Star Wars garb, they were just like, Rose Tico. and then because I have so much pride in being Asian, I'm just like, yeah. And then, like, we have the Asian nod to each other. We're like, yeah, like Asians. We actually do that. When you see an Asian person at a convention, you're just like, you just have the nod. It's like, hey, I see you. And so we do that. And
I quite often, not so much with this podcast, but with my other podcast that I do, I quite often, people say stuff out of school and they'll text me later on and go, can you just take that out, the thing I said about this person I work with on TV or whatever. But I imagine now I'm going to get a message from you. It's like, hey, you have to take that.
You could keep the Asian nod.
No, that secret Asian business. Like, they'll kick me out if I... It's all our secrets.
I know.
The nod.
I know. It, like, when you see another Asian person at a convention, they're like, there's not a lot. You just nod. They're like, what's up? I see you.
That's right. And something that... Like, I love your Twitter feed, and I find it really, like, fun and informative. But one thing that I'd never thought about is you're saying, and you mentioned before, that when you'd cosplay as Leia, people would say, Asian Leia.
Yeah.
And I think, like, devil's advocate that, you know, people aren't, you know, I'm sure some people were dissing, but then some people were just like, that's rad. Like, yeah. But the fact is that you couldn't avoid that tag.
Yeah, like, you can't escape it. Like, even when I wear a red wig to be Mary Jane, it's like, oh, Asian Mary Jane. And it's like, you're really focused and you're with a crew that is all like they're Spider-Man, and you're just like, yeah, I'm with this crew. And it's like, no, you're still Asian, this person. And like, even when I had a team, like, I had like a Padme and like all and like different people with me and the group, it's like, oh, there's like, oh, it's like the group and Asian Leia. And it's like, okay, like, and like, when people say it like with a as a fun way, like when I, it's because sometimes I'll say it like, oh, like with my fellow Asian people, like I'll be like, oh, like, you know, we're the Asian crew, and that's fun. And then people were like, oh, that's cool, Asian Leia. And like, I get they mean it wholeheartedly, but when you're sometimes when you're in the cosplay team where you're in a group and you want to just like be the, because like a lot of times you reenact scenes mm-hmm. and like you have fun with it because you're such a big fan of it, and then you reenact it, and then people still kind of go like, oh, but she's the Asian Leia. It's like, oh, but I'm right now at this moment, I'm trying to be Leia. I want, like, I'm with a team right now, so let me be Leia.
Yeah, and then you've got the catch-22 that you've got all these people on Twitter telling you to forget that you're Asian, but then when you do,
yeah,
everyone wants to remind you.
It's actually those people who tell me, like, oh, like, oh, but you know, you could be Leia. It's those same people who are going like, oh, look, it's Asian Leia.
Yeah.
It's always those same people. Like, the other people are like, oh, that's cool, Leia. Like, I've gotten people where they are like, oh, that's awesome, Leia. You look great. And it's great because I'm just like, yeah, because I'm Leia. And then some the people who tell me like, oh, you could be anyone you want, but now you're Asian Leia. Those are the people who usually say that. And it's just like, but you're the one who told me that I should be Leia. You saying it, you mean well. I get it. And that's totally fine. Like, people who say like, oh, that's like, oh, that's cool. It's like, you're Leia. Like, oh, the Asian Leia. That's that. There's some people who say it and they mean well. And they don't mean it with intent, like harsh. Like, and I'm okay with that because they're like, oh, it's like a cool team, like the Asian team. Like, I get it. And that's totally fine.
I think even if you mean it from the goodness of your heart,
yeah,
it's good to
think about it.
Yeah, because I, like,
yeah,
it had never, like, when I saw your tweet, yeah, I was like, it's never occurred to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it just hadn't. Do you know what I mean? That,
yeah,
that when I've seen people of different nationalities, like, cosplay, like, as a white character, then it's like, you know, then it's that, like, then it's that mm-hmm. Han or that Luke.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so it's, but there's so many, like, oxymorons in this whole debate because you've got that thing which just gets me, it's like the dog ate my homework sort of excuse of like, yeah, diversity, I just want good stories.
Oh.
which to me, it's just, I don't care if this movie makes other people happy in yeah. the way it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I just want it for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but then people that say, hey, let's just hire the best person for the job.
Yeah.
But then when you get a Rogue One and it's a very diverse cast, it's like, well, that's just PC casting, isn't it? Because they can't fathom that the best person for the job could be a diverse cast.
Yeah.
So you can never win.
No, you can't. And that, and everyone in Rogue One, they're amazing actors. Like, each and everyone are amazing. Like, I mean, Riz Ahmed just won an Emmy. So it's like, those people are the best choices. And they happen to be this descent. And people can't fathom the idea that Asian people can be good actors. We are expressive. Mm. And there's a hashtag called Expressive Asians because we can act. Because there's like people who are like, oh, you know, why cast an Asian person? Can't you cast the person best for the job? You don't know that Asian people, we can act. Mm. We can be the best for the job. And Kelly Marie Tran, there was actually a whole bunch of actresses who auditioned for it. And she was the best choice. And so it's like, you need to understand that they do choose. They're not going to choose a bad actor or actress for the role just for diversity. They're going to choose the best person. Like, and if they happen to be that descent, then they have to be that descent. Like, Hayden Christensen got picked.
Yeah. Let's not get... There's no Oscar winners.
No.
There's no Oscar-winning performances in these Star Wars films. But maybe Hamill. Hamill, they've said in this one.
I love Hamill, though. He's the best.
if Hamill got an Oscar for The Last Jedi, I would... Words can't describe... Like, just to see him get... I just want him to get his due.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like he's had, as far as getting legit props, mm-hmm. I don't think enough people give him legit props. Like he spent half an hour acting with a Muppet and we believed it.
Yeah. And he's such a great actor. Like, because of him, if I ever have a son, I would name him Luke.
Ooh.
Like, I for sure, like, that's sealed. I even told my family, I was like, if I ever had a kid, I would name him Luke. And that's forever sealed because of Mark Hamill. And, like, just I just love Luke.
This episode of Steel Wars is brought to you by Harry's Shavers, who have a awesome free trial offer for you to try out today. Remember back in the day when shaving advertisements were on TV and they showed the way the hairs got cut by all the different blades? That was quite a technical bit of animation. But with Harry's, they are so confident in their product that they're just happy to let some idiot that likes Star Wars tell you all about it. But it works because over 3 million guys have already switched over to Harry's because they are into a great shave at a fair price. Harry's was started by Jeff and Andy, two guys that were fed up with buying overpriced razors from the supermarket. So they started Harry's to fix that issue, buying their own German factory with over 100 years of blade making experience, which seems like an excessive amount of blade making experience, but it ensures the highest quality and all products are backed by 100% quality guarantee. Harry's offers their blades at half the price of the leading five blade razor because they sell directly to you over this little thing called the internet. Now, here's the deal. I honestly can't see why you wouldn't do this if you shave. If you cover the shipping, which is just $3, Harry's will send you out a free trial set, which is a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade. That's where that animation would normally be used in the advertisement. But now it's just me telling you about a rich lathering shave gel and a travel blade cover, all for you in a free trial set. And the link is also in the show notes of the podcast you're listening to right now. That is harrys.com/steelwars.
What was it like the first time you tico'd up and hit the streets?
Okay, so it was funny because my best friend, it was D23, and like my best friend was like, hey, do you have your Rose Tico costume ready? I'm like, no, it's still working on it. I was like, there's no really real images of it, so I've been piecing it together. And she said, Laura, like you've tweeted so many pictures of her. And I was like, oh my God, I did. And I was looking at it, and then 2 days before D23, I just worked on it 100%. Like I've been working on it throughout. And but they only showed one side of her body. And so I was like, I have to work with that. I'm going to have to do the coloring and work with what that two images that I have received from before D23. So I put it all together. I blood, sweat, and tears into it, and then I wore it for D23. I walked out, and I felt really proud of it. I mean, I sewed like crazy. My fingers were bleeding. Like I was sewing, like, and I got out there, and it was amazing. Like I felt like I was worried that everything was incorrect, but from that one picture. But I was just like, I'm just gonna go out there and be proud. And so I wore it, and only a few people recognized me. But a lot of the Star Wars people were going nuts. They were just like, you are the first Rose Tico, even at Celebration. I'm like, well, Celebration, only one image came out, and it was the back of her. And I worked on that one. That's why
with the head turning around.
Yeah, the head turning. And in that picture, her jumpsuit was green. So when I was working on it, I had a green jumpsuit because I thought the color was green. And then when the Vanity Fair picture came out, it was brown, and I was just like, oh no, like what am I going to do? And so I really worked on it, and like, so I had a brown suit, and I wore it to D23, and I did it parallel, so it looked like each other, like flipped. And I wore it around. I was in the documentary, like for Looking for Leia. I love those girls. So I was in. They talked to me because they were like, what inspired you? And I was like, Rose Tico, I'm just so happy. And all the Star Wars people were like, you can edit that part. Looking for Leia, because people were like, oh, like, you know, like you're the first Rose Tico. And I'm just like, you know, I'm like, I hope that there is more Rose Ticos, because this girl is like inspiration. And all those Star Wars people are like, yes, yeah, you're so excited. I'm like, yeah, I have to dress up as her D23. And then more pictures came out, and I was like, working on the suit. I'm like, where am I going to wear this next? What am I going to... And I finished it finally based on the Funko Pops and the action figures. And I did every detail. The coloring, I airbrushed it like three different colors.
Wow.
Yeah, to make it worn out and everything. And in different lighting, it's reflected different colors. And so I worked on it like crazy. And that's when I was invited to go to an event where Kelly Marie Tran was at. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to wear it when I meet Kelly. If I see Kelly Marie Tran, I thought I'm not going to meet her. She's probably just going to go on stage and leave to go and just do an introduction and leave. So I was like, okay, I'm going to wear it. And just so everyone around me could see, I'm a huge fan. I'm excited to see her in this film. And that's when I felt really proud. I felt proud of that one because that's when all the pictures came out. I was like, I really worked hard on this. I'm going to wear this.
So what was the event?
It was an Asian American like a comedy festival.
Okay,
it's comedy fest. It's like it's an Asian American comedy fest, but we don't want to call it Asian comedy fest because we don't want to define it. So it's like comedy fest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great event every year. Everyone should go. And she was doing improv there with her team, Number One Son. And so she was doing her improv and. So before the improv, there was a little pre-party, and so I was wearing my outfit, and everyone's like, oh, hey, that's cool. Like, I'm like, yeah, because everyone at the event should know who she is. And so they do, and everyone did, and they were like, oh, that looks cool. And I was thinking, I'm not going to see her. I'm just going to wear my costume and be cool, like, and just be excited that she's here, and, like, I get to be here while she's here in my Rose Tico. And then I was waiting near the door, and then she pops out at the door staring at me like, oh my God. And she screamed like that, and she was like, her eyes, and she came out the door, and she just looked at me. She was like, oh my God, like, this is incredible. And I was like frozen. I was just like, oh my God, it's you. Like, and like my best friend was like like laughing because I was just like, it's like she was just looking at me, and I was like, I'm you. And like, and she was like so sweet. She was just like, this looks really good. And I'm just like, I worked really hard on it, and I didn't know I was going to see you, and I'm so happy. And like, and then we just chatted a little bit about the movie, and how I thanked her for, you know, being part of this fandom, and welcomed her into this fandom. And I warned her it's going to get crazy after the movie comes out, that everything's going to, like, and, like, she signed all my Funko Pops and my action figures.
Wow.
Yeah, she's so sweet. So sweet. And she, I think because, you know, it's so new to her, she's excited. She was like, give me everything to sign. She goes, this is, like, amazing. Someone's dressed as me. I'm signing things. Like, she was like, it was like new to her and exciting. And I'm just like, wait till after. You're going to be so tired. But yeah, she was just so excited. She was just like, you're the first cosplayer I've seen. She goes, but I did see images of you and the internet people showed me.
Oh, wow.
So she did see, like, images of, like, my cosplay, and she was just like, yeah, I've seen your cosplay before. People showed it to me, and she goes, I'm so glad that we got to see it, and we took pictures, and I was just so happy. Like, I was in the full, like, garb, and it was a great moment to finally meet the person that you're idolizing, that you dressed up as because you idolize them.
Yeah.
And so it was so nice meeting her in my costume and just showing her the hard work that I did because how much I appreciate her and her character.
How weird is it that knowing that she was looking at photos of you, like, she was a Laura fan?
Yeah, I was just like, I was so excited because I was just like, oh my God, like, you've seen me, like, and you know, you recognized me. And it was just, it was so, it was scary because not like scary and like, oh no, you know me, but it's kind of like, I want to do you proud. Like, I want you to be proud of your fan, like, me, proud of me as a fan. Like I do correctly, and I'm just so happy that she recognizes that her fans love her already, and she hasn't, there's no screen time for her yet.
Yeah.
And I'm glad she saw me because I'm like, I want you to know how important you are. Like, how important you are to, and it's sad because, like, a pressure and everything, but she knows her responsibility. I think every major, like, person of color knows their responsibility of as an idol because we live in this world where we're not really seen, like, mm-hmm. And so we have to be the first ones to really like represent. And so I think she understands her responsibility, and she understands how much the fans love her already and how much people are looking forward to her, and especially Asian women, who little girls get to, you know, grow up and see her and want to be and emulate her. And so I'm glad she got to see that I wanted to emulate who she is and who she's going to become on the screen. And so I was just like excited that she recognized and she saw that she's loved. I want her just to know she's loved. I don't need like all that, like, oh, I just want her to know like, you are so loved. You are, everyone's excited for you. You are just so important to us. Like, and I'm glad she got to see that and know that and knows that now.
Like, you have to think that, you know, her inclusion in the film and then you cosplaying, that there's going to be more people for you to give the Asian nod to at Star Wars Celebration in a couple of years.
Yeah, there was at Stan Lee's, there are two other Rose Ticos. I could not find them for the life of me. I was looking. I was like, where are the other roses? Like, I want to take a group photo because I want to tweet it out that so she knows, like, we are rooting for her. We are so excited. Like, this is what you have done to the fandom, like, for Asian women everywhere. Like, so I was scouting them. I was like, where are these roses? Like, I need, like, we had a dozen roses. That would be amazing. Like, I was looking for all the roses, and I'm like, I wanted, like, for a celebration, I was like, you know what? If we had a rose meetup, that would be amazing. Like, that would be so fun, and just to take pictures and send it to her and just show her, like, look at what you've done.
That's so dope. That's so cool. So good. How much sleep did you get that night when you got home?
None. I was so excited. And it's so funny because after the event, me and my friend were like, and there's an after party, but we didn't want to go because we were like, we're tired. Let's just go to this place and eat. And like, I was like, okay. So we go to the place and Kelly Marie Tran's eating there. And I was just like, oh my God, I don't want her to think I'm stalking her. Like, I was just like hiding. I'm like, oh my God. Like, cause we came in, she was eating with her friends. And like, I just saw her and I was just fangirling with her. And then we come in and I'm just like, I was like, oh my God, she probably thinks I'm stalking her. And I told
and you probably are.
No, subconsciously. No, and then like I tweeted out. I'm like, oh my God, guys, I just left the event and she's at the place I'm eating at. So please know I am not stalking her. She'd probably think I'm stalking her. And everyone's like, this is just evidence of you trying to get away from it. I'm like, no, I'm really not stalking her. We didn't want to eat at that place. We thought she would go eat at that place, the after party.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were like, oh no, she thinks I'm stalking her. So please, Kelly Tran, please know I'm not stalking you.
I do have to admit, and I'll preface with, I am a big softy, but I did get a bit misty-eyed when I saw you tweet out the photo with, I was just like, because I'd sort of followed your tweets and, you know, I knew how much you're a big fan you were and you had the cosplay. And just to see you like with her and like how, like I adore her. Like, she's just
adorable,
happy, adorable, positive, like just such a nice person to me. Yeah. To see that you got to meet her in costume, I was just like, how good Star Wars?
Yeah, I was so emotional, especially if you look at the picture closely at the picture of me and her, like my eyes are like glossy with like, it's just wet, like you could see that there's glossed over. And I was just like, no, keep it cool. Keep it cool. You're going to take a picture? Like, you don't want her first impression of a fan being like bawling their eyes out. You want her to be like,
oh, the pressure was on you.
Yeah, so I was just like, hold it in. Like, I'm a fan and keep it cool. And like, you see my eyes gloss over when I took pictures of her. And like, and then afterwards people are like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm just totally cool. And like, during the improv, when she was doing her improv, like, I'm sitting in the front row because I take pictures of everything. And I didn't know the stage was so close to where the audience was. I sat down and like you see, like, she's in my face and my face is like like looking, staring at her like, oh. And like, I was trying not to be like that person, like that fan. Like, I'm just like, and people were probably thinking like, that girl, like that Laura, she's just obsessive. I'm like, no, I can't help it. I'm in the front row and I'm in costume. What do you expect?
Oh, that is so
dope.
She
was really nice throughout the whole thing. She was calm, nice. I think she was excited too, though.
I think you made a good fan first impression.
I hope so.
I think you did us all proud on that one. Well, thanks so much
for
meeting up and sharing your fandom. Now, one thing we do ask
everyone that comes on the show.
Okay.
We've got endless Star Wars movies and stories to go. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not ending. This is it. What are you most looking forward to? Maybe your one's a little bit sooner than everyone else's, but what's the thing you're most looking forward to in Star Wars going forward?
You know, I am excited that they're going to do Forces of Destiny for Rose and Paige. I'm looking forward to their story. I mean, I'm looking forward to anything with Poe, because damn, Maron. But like, but I am looking forward to, like, overall, just in general, like, I am excited for the story. Like, I'm excited to see you. I'm ready to see Rey and her training and her process, and then whose hand is reaching out for, Kylo Ren's reaching out for, but I am excited for Rose Tico and her sister Paige. I have some theories about what's gonna happen to Paige, which I don't want to say because it might be a spoiler. I don't know what it is. It's my theory.
I don't have any inside information on Paige.
Okay.
But I am concerned about it.
I am concerned about Paige. There's a in the trailer, because I freeze frame every Asian person in the trailer. She's falling, and that kind of concerns me. So I'm like, okay, but I am excited to see their relationship, and I think I've said this before, where I hope we get to see their story and their relationship as sisters, and it's nice to see that they have like families in there, because usually it's like the only child. Like, I know it's like everything's the only child except Luke and Leia, but they didn't know about each other.
Mm.
But now we get to see siblings kind of together, and what happens to families in the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone tends to die, or like orphans, like in Rogue One, like orphans, and there's never really relationships. So it's nice to see Paige and Rose, and their relationship. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to their Forces of Destiny, because I'm hoping that their storyline would reflect other Vietnamese American families, where they were separated in Asia because of the war, and they had to be refugees in America. So I'm kind of reflecting on that. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. When is their Forces of Destiny coming out?
Her book is, well, Rose is having her own book that's coming out in the fall, like in November, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure when their Forces of Destiny is coming out. I think maybe January.
So after the film.
Yeah, so after the film.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping it'll be before, but I don't think so. I think it's January. Because I want to see their relationship and their story, and see if it reflects, if they got ideas from like actual refugees too.
Yeah. That's, I have to say, one of my favorite things that no one else gets to enjoy in this podcast is every time Laura says Rose Tico, she gets this little smile that's just this Rose Tico excitement smile, which it's like, that's my favorite thing about Star Wars, is the way it excites, you know, that sort of stuff, and brings people together. We should celebrate whatever brings more people in.
Yeah.
And like, to have more fun and to be inspired.
Yeah, definitely. Rose Tico, when she is, I notice I do smile a lot when I say her name, because it's nice to be part of it, and to know that Star Wars included us. Inclusion, like, inclusion is important, diversity is important, and that we are welcomed in this. Like, they see us, and we see Star Wars, but it's like, now they see us too.
How can the good people of the internet find your find your internet presence?
I am on Twitter all the time. So
I can vouch for that.
As we speak, I am on Twitter. My handle is at LSIRIKUL, at L Siri Cool. Like Siri, cool. So yeah, I'm always on there. I'm always tweeting. So.
You are. And I have to say, I do dog you for tweeting a lot, but I enjoy it so much, and as I say, like, it's one of my favorite accounts, because I've learned a lot, but then like, there's super fun stuff at the same time. And I think it's, you know, to put yourself in someone else's shoes and look at Star Wars from a different angle and stuff, it teaches you a lot about yourself and about like the world as a whole, sort of thing.
Yeah. I'm hoping that I could just share my views on all the fandoms and how much. And I do talk about Rose a lot on my Twitter. So if you want to know fun facts about Rose, I probably will have it.
Well, and you can know that every time that she tweets the fun fact that she's got a giant grin.
I'll just post it with my picture, like smiling, like Rose.
Well, thanks so much. Mm-hmm. Enjoy The Last Jedi.
Yes.
And may that force be with you.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that really fun and informative episode with Laura Siracule and her absolute devotion to Rose Tico. It's getting close. It's getting close. If you want to help out the Steel Wars podcast in any way, there are several ways to do it. The easiest is the new episode announcement tweet and Facebook status is always posted to the top of the feed. If you want to give us a retweet or a share and let people know you're listening to the show and you're enjoying what we're doing, that is the easiest way for us to get new listeners, and that is the easiest way to help us out for the content that you have just listened to, because it's the listener word of mouth is how we get new listeners, you guys. If you're on iTunes, quickly leaving us a sweet 5-star review bumps us up the rankings and lets other potential listeners know that we're doing good stuff in Star Wars media. And if you want to see a little visual interpretation of Steel Wars, go at us at youtube.com/Steel Wars. I'm putting up little highlight clips and little enhanced clips and that sort of stuff as well. And we've got some, I'm working on this new clip that should be pretty informative. So check all that out at youtube.com/Steel Wars. Click subscribe. And enjoy, you guys. The Steel Wars merch store is pumping out orders. Your Snoke theory sucks. The Porg, and Porg t-shirt. The Yub Nub tee. The I'm Ray's Parents tee. Plus stickers and all that good stuff at steelwars.com. If you want to support the podcast in a small financial way and be rewarded with full-length versions of all our back episodes and weekly bonus episodes like the Listener Q&A, the Call-In Show bonus section, and exclusive shows like Making Steel Wars, where Jason Ward and I go into the Star Wars news behind the news, very highly acclaimed bonus podcast, which we are recording a new one today, trying to piece together in what order do all the moments from the trailers occur, which should be a fun experiment. Then go to patreon.com/Steel Wars. And for just $3 a month, you can support the podcast's ongoing production and have access to all the weekly bonus episodes and the 300 plus archive shows back there. You get an RSS feed, which you can easily paste into your podcast app or catcher of choice, and they just download like any other podcast. It is really smooth and a great way for a couple of your spare dollars to contribute to allow me to keep making these shows for you, which is one of the most rewarding and just happy things in my life while I'm making these shows for you, and being able to afford the time that goes into getting them out. So thank you guys so much. Thank you to our hundreds of Patreon supporters. We really appreciate it. My other podcast, I Love Green Guide Letters. It is a comedy podcast where myself and my mates try to review the complaint letters to the Australian TV Guide. We have the guys, Meso and Mr. Sunday Movies from the Weekly Planet. They're going to be on the episode going up tomorrow, which should be really good. I know you guys appreciate them on Steel Wars. So check out I Love Green Guide Letters and hit them up on that.
If you're not already a part of the Steel Wars listener Star Wars Safe Haven or whatever it's called, that group is linked to the Steel Wars page on Facebook, or you can get a link on steelwars.com, and you can chat Star Wars with all the people you hear on the call-in show, previous guests, and just looky-loos, just hanging out there. But it's super good, and you've got to answer a couple of very easy to answer questions to make sure you're not some sort of crazy spam robot or weirdness. It's so many weird accounts trying to join that group. Very, very strange. Thank you guys so much for your support of the show. I truly appreciate it. And may that force be with you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Also, for more Star Wars podcasting, check out the Making Star Wars Podcast Network at makingstarwars.net.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.